God, we are so thankful that you are the way maker. Father, that you have sent your spirit host here so we can do miracles in your name. Father, that we can stand boldly in your name, that we ordinary people can stand boldly in your name and declare your victory over our lives. Father, we can declare every promise in scripture over our life, and we can live a life of victory. So God, we thank you for that. Father, we celebrate that. God, we pray that this morning as we continue through Sunday church, that we would just be encouraged, be lifted up, be blessed. And know, Father, that you called us. You called us, Father, to step out and step in. Father, you called us to step into your promises, that you called us to step into your ways. So God, I pray that we would shed doubt and that we would take on this robe of righteousness, this robe of victory, this robe of promises, Father, and we would step forward, Father, in those things that you've already declared over our lives. God, we thank you for that. And I pray, God, that this morning as we talk about what you've called us to do and be world changers, Father, I pray that we would take that on, Father. And we wouldn't just look to the other guy and say, it's his problem, not mine. But we would step forward and be world changers, Father. Be changers in the town of Rosetown and in this province of Saskatchewan. And whatever city, whatever country, whatever state or province we may live in, Father, we pray that you would encourage people and build people up today, God. Father, we thank you and we love you. We love you, God. Bless us today, Father. Lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, music team. There's a show, maybe some of you guys have seen it. Maybe you've seen it, those of you on stage. Maybe you think I'm crazy because I've watched it. But have you ever seen the old show, The A-Team, with Mr. T? Have you seen? No.
Is that why you were here?
Because I like to be B.A. Baracus. So the A-Team, when something happens and they're going through everything, they like the one guy, I can't remember who it is, but he likes to say, I love it when a plan comes together. Who is it?
Hannibal,
yes. Well, it's funny because I love it when a plan comes together because I was prepping my sermon this week and Mary was prepping her music and it seems like they just flow together. So I love it. I love it when a plan comes together. Not my plan, God's plan. And we just have to be obedient to him. Amen. So change your world. That's the series we're on right now. And we're talking about ordinary people. So I'm so tired of hearing people say, well, it can't be me that God's going to use. Like, I'm just an ordinary guy. And I'm not sure if you realize this, but God uses ordinary people because in Christ, we are no longer ordinary people. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, leading us, guiding us, and empowering us. We're not ordinary. When you know Jesus, if you're watching Sunday church and you know Jesus, stop referring to yourself as ordinary. You're extraordinary. But we're going to talk about this guy that was, in all accounts, an ordinary guy. This guy, Nehemiah. And there's some background to the story of Nehemiah. So the walls of the city of Jerusalem were a mess. They were in rubble. They had been destroyed. And the news eventually got to Nehemiah where he was working as a servant. But he had a pretty good job as a servant. He was a good job, I guess. He was a wine tester and a drink tester for the king. He was a cupbearer to see if the drink was poisoned. But he got to drink good, like the best of the best is what he was drinking. So he was rubbing shoulders with the right people. But this news made it all the way to Nehemiah and it made him very sad. So Nehemiah got this plan to rebuild the wall. And he led the people day in and day out. And while he was building this wall for 52 days, is all that it took. And the enemies attacked. They came, but Nehemiah overcame. This is less days, 52 days, than many of you just spent in quarantine or isolation. Think about that. So what did you do while you were in quarantine? Did you build a wall? Just a question. But Nehemiah built a wall. I built a wall in my house. It's much smaller, much easier. But Nehemiah built a wall, and then he hung out for another month. And I believe God is going to stir up some of you in your life, and I believe that after this series, your life should not be the same again. I believe that should be true for all of us. See, what happened was these Jews, they were in captivity, were now returning home. And I want to remind you or let you know that there's some good news behind all this, because Nehemiah, like I said earlier, was an ordinary guy. He wasn't the best of the best. But if you're not the best of the best, don't worry, because God is going to use you, because he makes you the best of the best. And if your worldview is you're an ordinary person, then good news, because God wants to use you. And Nehemiah is this amazing story of this guy. Like I said, he's not a prophet, not a priest, not a warrior, not a king, but he was a cupbearer, taste tester. He was a man who saw something that bothered him, and it stirred him up when he heard about the wall being down. So let's read about Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1:1-4. And I'll read from here, and I'll try to look at you. It says, "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakalai, in the month of Kislev, in the 12th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men." So he got some company. Nehemiah's brother came for a visit. And it says, "And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'Those who survived the exile and are back in the province and are in great trouble and in disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven.'" Nehemiah 1:1-4. And so these walls had been down for 140 years at this point. And it was an embarrassment to the people of God. Beyond embarrassing, actually, it made them vulnerable to attacks from the outside, from their enemies. 140 years is a long time when you think about it. And the people of God, they were depressed, they were down, because the walls that represented something that was protection for them, the walls that represented their independence, were down and destroyed. And they felt like they had no hope, they thought. They thought life is never, ever going to get better. Have you ever felt like that? Huh. Darn, my life's just not going to get better. This is where I'm at. And I want to encourage you today, if that's where you're at, know that God is still there, and he is still at work, and you need to put some faith and focus on him. Because watch what happens when some faith and focus is put on what God has planned. But they're down. They're down. Because these walls are down. So how did it happen? How did these walls get destroyed? How did these walls leave the town in ruins? Sorry. So God told the Jewish people, if you obey me, I'm going to bless you. But if you disobey me, there's going to be some consequences, folks. You are called to obey me. That's what God told them in the Old Testament. And through their disobedience, God allowed the Babylonians to come in and to wipe out the city and the people. They destroyed the temple, which was very important to them, as it was their place of worship. They tore down the walls, and they took the people into captivity and made them their slaves and servants. And then later, Persia became the dominant world power, and they took some of the Jewish people and let them go back to the city, and a few of them, just this remnant, they tried to rebuild the temple. And we talked about this remnant last year at one of our Sunday church services. So they tried to build this makeshift temple, and it was the best that they could do so that they could resume worship of God. But they still had the city walls torn down. And it left them vulnerable to outside attacks. It was humiliating to the hearts of the people. And at some point, somebody needed to step up and say, enough is enough. And I got a little story I want to share with you about somebody that said enough was enough. And maybe it's not relevant, maybe it is, but it's a fun story for me to share. Stacy doesn't think it's very fun. But I think years ago, when Stacy was pregnant with Seth, and we went to a Riders versus Eskimos game in Edmonton, and Commonwealth Stadium is a smoke-free area, right? If you've ever been there, most stadiums are. This was quite a few years. This is 2004. But we brought youth from our church. We had friends from the church. I guess I didn't bring the youth. The youth pastor brought the youth. I just bought the tickets for them. But we had a big group of us all together. We had some of Stacy's family was there. My brother Nick was there. Like I say, the youth from the church. Some of our friends, my senior pastor at the time, was sitting right in front of me and a bunch of our friends. Well, the third quarter of this football game is coming on, and this guy across the aisle and a couple rows up in front of me decides he's going to light up a cigarette. And the smoke is starting to get really bad around us. And everybody's like looking. You know that everybody's like rubbernecking, but nobody wants to say anything? Well, I got my pregnant wife here, and I'm like, enough is enough. So I said, hey, buddy. I kindly, aggressively say, hey, buddy, okay? Hey, buddy, can you put the cigarette out? And he gave me an offensive gesture with a finger or two. And I had had enough. I drew my line in the sand, and I stood up and asked him if he wanted to have a discussion about this matter. And then my brother stood up beside me, and right in front of me, my pastor, Pastor Lyle, says to me, Davey, it's okay, calm down. And he's trying to pat my hand and my knee. And my other friend, Greg, who was quite a bit smaller than the rest of us, Greg was like this tall, was trying to determine which of this guy's buddies he was going to have to take for a discussion. Well, when the guy saw my brother and I and probably Pastor Lyle and the other guys, he sheepishly gave me the peace sign and sat down. But I had had enough. I drew a line, and Nehemiah came to that point when he said, enough is enough. And every now and then, there's something that you look at and say, no, I'm not going to tolerate anymore. Have you ever felt like that? Enough is enough. I'm not going to tolerate that. Maybe you've made that type of decision over your life, and you said, enough is enough. I'm not going to continue down this path. Maybe you had some friends, and you said, no, enough is enough. I'm not going to keep moving down this path with you. Enough is enough. You guys need to change your ways. Have you ever been in that type of a situation? I know I'm not the only one that has ever felt or done something like this, where you hit that point and you say, enough. I need to do something. Somebody needs to do something, so it might as well be me. Maybe that's because I'm a guy of action. I like to do stuff and move forward. But somebody's got to do something, so it might as well be me. And I pray that you feel stirred to say, somebody's got to do something, so it might as well be me. God takes a very ordinary guy who draws this line in the sand and says, no, 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 no. This is not okay. Not on my watch. Not while I'm around. Somebody has to do something, so it might as well be me. And you know what? God wants to use you. So there's three principles of how God will use ordinary world changers. Ordinary world changers who do something, as we just read here what Nehemiah did in verse 1 to 4. What did Nehemiah do? It says, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. See, Nehemiah got passionate about something. His heart was stirred when he heard this story, and he just sat down and wept. And the first thing I say is sit down to cry. And maybe that's not a literal sit down to cry. Maybe that's an internal weeping because something just moves you so passionately because you get something in your heart and it's stirred and it's from the Holy Spirit and you just get stirred about passion, with passion and compassion. See, he did this the same thing that Jesus did when Jesus approached Jerusalem and was up on the hill and he saw that they had turned the temple into the marketplace. Do you remember this story? We talked about it Easter weekend. And Jesus was overwhelmed and overcome with emotion. He just broke down and cried. And Jesus looked at the people and he said, they don't have a spiritual leader. And there's all of these sheep without a shepherd. And emotion overtook him, and he cried and he wept. Nehemiah couldn't stand up. He was so overwhelmed with emotion that he sat down and just sobbed, and he sobbed, and he sobbed. Not for himself, but for someone else, for something else. See, Nehemiah, he lived in Persia, which was 1,000 miles from Jerusalem. And it could have been so easy to do what I've done at times, and maybe what you've done at times. You hear of a group that are having some hurts, having some troubles, and you're like, huh, doesn't really affect me. Somebody else will deal with it. It's their problem, not mine. See, Nehemiah was living in comfort. He was living in the palace. Sure, he was the cupbearer, but like I said, pretty posh life. He's rubbing shoulders with the right people. He's got some status. How easily would it have been to say, oh man, that's too bad. Hope somebody builds a wall for them. Maybe they should get at her. Maybe I'll write a check. That'll appease my insides. That'll take away my guilt. Maybe I'll pray for them. I'll pray for them. Have we ever done that? We've heard of something and maybe it's upset us, but we just brush it off and we've written a check or I'll pray for you. And we don't let the burden really into our hearts. Some of us have become pretty good at ducking pain and ducking issues and ducking stirring in our hearts. But Nehemiah, he opened up his heart and said, this is not okay. It's not okay with me. So what breaks your heart? I could ask you guys that if we were face to face, but I'll throw out some things. Maybe when you hear about child abuse or child neglect, maybe that breaks your heart. Or maybe bullies. Maybe that breaks your heart and stirs you. Broken families, physical abuse, sexual abuse, poverty, hunger, human trafficking, people with no hope, loss of freedom. And right now there's a really hot topic that we're not diving into, but is racism even. This is not what this series is about. This is a series that was planned before all that whole thing started. But that's a hot topic item, and maybe that stirs you. I hope it stirs you, actually. Because God called us all to love every person equally. But that's, like I said, that's not the purpose of this message. It's a rabbit trail I could jump down and we could be on for days. The second thing that Nehemiah did was in Nehemiah 1:4, part B of 1:4. It says, for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So Nehemiah took time and he prayed. See, God uses those who kneel down and pray. And Nehemiah tells us this. It says, for some days I mourned and fasted. Right? He mourned and he fasted. When his heart was stirred, when he was mourning, he was already fasting and he was already praying. God stirred his heart. God stirred his spirit. And he started praying and fasting about what he can do and how he can do it. How many of you might have said, but I'm only one person. What can I do? Or maybe there's just a few of us. Like, I don't even know. We don't even know where to begin. Start with praying. That's where you can begin. Start with praying and allow the heart of God to stir your heart and lead you. Some of the most important time you can spend is when you spend time with God in prayer. Amen? And we've talked about that before. We talked about that as we were in our series, The Ultimate Warrior. Did you know that when it's God plus one, you always have a majority and you always have victory every single time? You see, that's the special forces guys do when we go to the Father in prayer before taking action. We go to the Father in prayer. We seek him. We spend time with him. And that's what leaders do. They get wisdom from the Father. They petition the Father. You're a leader. Step up. Do something. We're called to do something. And we're going to talk more about leaders next week on Father's Day. So that's a good segue to that. But we're going to keep going on this series now. Everything that Nehemiah did was covered in this intense prayer. There are 12 different mentions of this of a powerful prayer that Nehemiah said in the book of Nehemiah. The whole rest of chapter 1 is a powerful prayer. And God raised up a power leader who is a praying leader. And I pray that you are all praying leaders. You're all spending time in his word on your knees praying. So after these prayers, did Nehemiah just sit back and say, okay, God, you know what to do. I guess you better get to work, God. It's time for my nap. I'm done praying. No. Did he say, God, whatever happens, happens. It's your thing. How many of you have heard somebody say that? Well, I prayed, whatever happens, happens. I took my hands off the steering wheel. Whatever happens, happens as you crash your truck head on. It's not what we do, right? We don't just throw our hands up and say, oh, whatever happens, happens, God. See you later. No. What do? We get to action, don't we? We pray, we ask God for leading, and we get to action. We, as leaders, we don't just sit back and put our feet up and say, okay, have at her. We go to work. So God uses those who sit down and cry, those whose hearts are stirred. God uses those who kneel down and pray, those who bring the need to God, who petition God, and those who boldly and confidently come before God. I feel like my microphone is flying around this morning. The third thing is, like I said, we stand up and we do something. We stand up and act. After spending significant time in prayer, as we said just a moment ago, the rest of Nehemiah 1 is a powerful prayer that Nehemiah prayed. Nehemiah just didn't sit back and sit around and have prayer meetings, but he went to the king of Persia, and he said, I need your help. And if you know the backstory to Nehemiah, you can read it. But in chapter 2, he went before the king to taste the wine and give the king the wine. And the king looked at him and said, you look pretty down today. You something bugging you? And the Bible says that Nehemiah was afraid. And he should have been. Because back then, and the king could have struck him dead or had him killed, I guess. Not struck him dead, but you know what I mean. Could have had him killed at any moment. Just for not being in the right mood. And if you read that, he could have said, you know, what's bugging you, Nehemiah? To one of the guards, right? He could have given one of these, but he didn't. And so the king could see that he was visibly upset. And Nehemiah couldn't hide his emotion, says, and the king asked, why are you so upset? And then the very next thing before he asks for the blessing of the king, he butters the king up a little bit. It's a spiritual principle, I think. You butter the king up. You butter whoever you're up to before you ask for something, right? That's what my kids do to me. They butter me up. Dad, you're looking really good. Dad, have you lost weight? Dad, I love your haircut. What do you want? But he buttered him up. I'm just kidding about the buttered up. My kids do butter me up, but we're not going to hold that against them today. But let's read. It says, I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so I can rebuild it. I'm not going to send other people. I'm not going to whine about it. I'm not going to sit around and complain. Because the God is in heaven has given me this burden. So, King, will you send me? Will you let me go? His misery became his opportunity to do a ministry. And I'm looking at this. And I'm saying, as long as I'm alive, if there's a breath in me, I'm not okay with this. On behalf of God, I'll declare not on my watch, is what Nehemiah is basically saying. Somebody's got to do something, so let it be me. You can't do everything, but you can do something. You can't adopt every kid. Right? You can't foster every kid. You can't feed every hungry kid in the world. But some way, somehow, maybe you can feed one or 10 or 20. You can't do everything. You can't talk to everyone in this town or your town about Jesus, but you can share the love of Jesus with someone. Together, we can make a difference in this world. together we can make a difference in our town. I can't do everything, but I can do something. God is going to speak to you, and you're going to realize that this is not okay. I'm not just going to sit here and make money and accumulate things, and then I'm going to die. God put me here for a reason. God put you here for a reason. He put you here to make a difference. And you're going to open up your heart to some injustice outside of you. And you're going to share the love of Jesus, and we can be world changers together. We're warriors, and we're world changers. We're warriors who are dropping love bombs all over this town. Together. I love the term love bombs. I love love bombs because a love bomb is a weapon of mass destruction. It has huge impact, and we destruct hate, fear, pain, anger, and we build up love, joy, faith, peace. So you got to change your mindset on what we're destructing and what we're rebuilding together. I'm inviting you to join me in the next few weeks for Sunday church as we talk about being world changers together. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would plant a hurt or a pain from our community in our hearts, just like you did with Nehemiah. And God, I pray that it would stir us so much that we would feel like we needed to sit down and weep for whatever that pain, that burden you might place on our heart is. And Father, I pray that it wouldn't stop there. But Father, it would drive us to our knees, and that we would pray, Father, we would seek you, we would seek your wisdom, we would seek your grace, we would seek your mercy, and we would seek your direction on how we would proceed on this, Father. And then I pray, Father, after that, we would act on it. We would put feet to what you've stirred in our heart and what you put on our hearts, and I pray that we would get at it. So God, I thank you in advance for how you're going to be working and how you are working, have been working in people's lives, Father. I pray that you would just continue to make ways for us and direct us, Father, so that we can have this giant impact, Father, this blast zone in our community. Father, I pray that we would change the world, and we would start right here in Rosetown, God. I pray that we would get passionate about the things that you're passionate about. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just heard about the love of God that he has given us and this passion he's called us to and how he's called us to help the hurting and to love the hurting, and maybe that's stirring you and you want to know God, I want to invite you to join us in a prayer. Because God doesn't want anyone to miss out on this amazing place called heaven. Amen? He wants us all there. He wants us all in community with us. And all you have to do to have an opportunity to be with Jesus is to repeat this prayer after me and believe it with your heart. So I invite you to just spend time with us right now as we pray. Would you bow your heads with me and repeat after me if you want to invite Jesus into your heart? And I'm going to ask the music team to just repeat after me as well. And wherever you're at, repeat after me, and just so everybody feels comfortable if they feel led to pray this prayer. So if you don't know Jesus, just pray with me. Dear God, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Thank you that Jesus died in my place. I ask Jesus to forgive my sin and come into my life and begin to direct my life. Help me connect with people who bring me closer to you. Thank you, God, for forgiving me and welcoming me into your army. Thank you for eternal life and newfound joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, connect with me. Contact the church, 306-882-2453, or you can email me at lead@rosetownchurch.ca. You can comment on Facebook in the comments. You can message me on Facebook. You can message me on YouTube. You can connect with me any way, multiple ways. It's easy. It's in your hands. But if you pray that prayer, or maybe you just want to check out more about Jesus and you want a Bible or to talk, I'm available through the church, and I'd love to give you a free Bible just to read about who Jesus is and the truths that he has for us. So please reach out to me, contact me, and I would love to do that. Now we're gonna pray here in a moment. And just a reminder that at 1 o'clock today, we have our annual general meeting for our church attendees, and it's going to be online. So if you haven't got an invite to that meeting, contact me as well. But let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you, God. We pray that you would just call us in. Father, draw our hearts in. Give us a burden, Father, for you and for your people and for your community that doesn't know you yet, God. I pray that you would stir us. Empower us, engage us, God. Father, I pray for our general meeting that's going to be later today. Father, I pray that as we do your business, Father, that we would be focused on you and your goodness and your principles, God. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, have a great week. As I said earlier, we're going to be talking about leaders next week on Father's Day. God bless, and we'll see you next week.